not often that the youth of a nation has to face such dire situations and terrible challenges as we have now in our country. And yet, it should be recognized as a condition which no backward nation can avoid when it tries to rewrite its own history. These are the pangs of a new birth. And no new birth is ever possible without its accompanying pains. Since this is a natural condition through which the youth must march forward, we may profitably look back into our culture to discover available techniques we may have for reinforcing ourselves and for getting the necessary strength, stamina, and daring to face the national reconstruction challenges. A very similar situation is depicted in the Mahabharata times, and a message to the youth had been given by the subtle thinkers of the era to the despondent youth of those times. Arjuna represents the world of youth, and the Bhagavad Gita, given out through Arjuna, thunders forth the solution to the world outside. He is placed against a background of the din and roar of a self-annihilating civil war in this country. The opening chapter of the Bhagavad Gita paints for us a confusing atmosphere of strife and tension, of sweat and dust, of din and roar, natural in every war front. Apart from the clamoring sounds and rattling noises of the impatient armies standing face to face, we are also given a peep into the tension created in the subjective minds of the people by the tragic outer situation. The challenge is not only outside man, but it springs forth from within man's own bosom. The disturbances created by the mental stress and strain churn the within of the man of action, and he comes to feel lost. In fact, this inner chaos gets itself projected to express as the outer disturbances around. Examples are many about us today to illustrate the scientific truth of this statement. Many of our strikes, whether it be in the industrial concerns or in the universities or even in our administration itself, all of them ultimately erupt from the inner tensions felt which were restrained and suppressed for a long period of time in the past. This inner shattering of the psychological personality in man is projected out so vividly in the characterization of Arjuna that in the Bhagavad Gita, the Pandava prince represents the confused man of the world, the disillusioned youth of all times. The case history of Arjuna is recorded with scientific precision in the opening chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. As the commander-in-chief of the Pandava forces, this great warrior, who had proved his prowess many a time earlier, comes to the warfront and reviews the array of the enemy lines. He discovers that the unholy hordes who are championing the unjust messages of pure covetousness and lust for power are more powerful. The Kaurava forces are larger in number, better equipped and more efficiently manned. Compared with these forces of relentless materialism, the Pandava forces representing the saner and the nobler values of life are weak, incompetent, and apparently inefficient. This practical calculation sinks the warrior in Arjuna into a state of utter dejection, a psychological state of impotency and hysteria. When one is convinced that one must fight against certain obnoxious tendencies, and yet when one finds that under the circumstances one dare not to get up and strike, the resultant mental condition of painful disillusionment is called dejection. Arjuna is represented in the Bhagavad Gita as an enthusiastic soldier who has reached this benumbing state of utter dejection. In such a state of dejection, an intelligent man of action discovers in himself many a logical argument, each one apparently righteous, to convince himself that he should run away from the field of his duty and positive action. This sense of escapism is detrimental to any great achievement. But all psychological cowards often unconsciously live this life of escapism. At all such moments, human intellect has got the ability in itself to seek and to discover false justification supporting its own self-escapism. Arjuna argues that he cannot fulfill his duties towards his nation, and he brings forth a chain of empty arguments, all of them extremely sentimental and highly emotional. On the whole, Vyasa, the author, demonstrates in Arjuna the total breakup of the human personality under the stress and strain of its own immediate environment. I am here deliberately choosing my vocabulary in order to bring home to my listeners the irresistible parallel that we find in the conditions of today around us. The youth of our country psychologically going through this Arjuna state of an inner collapse. After our independence, the new generation, conscious of their newfound freedom, dreamt of a progressive nation moving ahead with determination and vision to make the people self-sufficient and even prosperous. The youth, intelligent as they are, find in themselves a surge of confidence that they can achieve what they want in this rich country by exploring and exploiting its own natural resources. And yet, at all levels they find their hopes shattered, their visions belied, their ambitions thwarted. The negative forces around them seem to gather more strength at every moment, and naturally, a sense of disillusionment verging on the point of hysteria and despondency overwhelms the youth. They become at moments wild, and at other moments too despondent to care what is all happening around them. Their minds corrupted, intellects drooping in despondency. Physically, they come to live an unholy and unnatural life of excesses and shameless corruption, justifying everything that they are doing in a mad sequence of noisy logic. This we find today among the youth all round the world. At this critical moment, were Arjuna all alone, he would have certainly in his dejection and despair run away from his post of duty, allowing all the negative forces in the country a free play to sabotage the constructive plans and to blast all the sacred hopes of a national revival. Luckily for the Pandava prince, there was at the time the great master Lord Krishna to resurrect the Arjuna mind from the abyss of despair into the very peaks of hope and the warmth of a clearer vision. Though a proficient man, due to his mental agitations, the great warrior in Arjuna becomes temporarily inefficient. Great achievements are earned not through proficiency alone, but achievements are rewards of efficiency. Today, all around us, we find in our country, we have, through education, stepped up the general proficiency in our youth. But their capacity to apply their knowledge in the field of their activity is definitely at a low ebb. If gathered knowledge adds up to form the proficiency, the ability to translate that knowledge into action at the appropriate field is called efficiency. We are at present a nation highly proficient, no doubt, but alas, extremely inefficient. Arjuna, the proficient warrior, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, demonstrates himself to be inefficient to meet the challenge due to his subjective mental rupture. Lord Krishna, through his song Divine, treats the shattered personality of his student and rehabilitates his personality, and we find that the dejected Arjuna of the first chapter rises up in the last chapter with a newfound determination to act and fulfill his duties towards the world. This mental rehabilitation process is the theme of the Bhagavad Gita, and in our national revival, we shall need no other knowledge so gently as this great secret technique. Hence I claim that the Gita is a scripture for the teenagers of explanation. Under the Arjuna state, man sinks into a hysterical condition, and at such a time he loses his capacity to discriminate correctly what should be done and what should not be done. Temporarily, his sanity is robbed from him by the rising fumes of his own confusions in his bosom, and he comes to act madly, sometimes suicidal, and often tragic to the society. In our country, I need not illustrate the working of this psychological law, as we find so often our own national transport vehicles burned down, our own municipal wealth destroyed, when people lose their discrimination at such moments of psychological disturbance in them. In short, at such tragic moments, when man loses his ability to think correctly and abdicates from his power of judgment, he, benumbed by worldly problems around, staggers under the crushing load of his own self-created miseries. This was the condition of the student in the Bhagavad Gita, and the educational treatments given to him constitute the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The immediate urgency for mastering this knowledge for us as a nation is now obvious and evident.